This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, buddy, Hour 3, G-Bag Nation here on your home of the Rangers. We have Rangers baseball for you tonight. Pre-game coming up at 6:30, first pitch at 7 o'clock out there at the Globe as Jared Sandler joins us now for more on these stories. Jared, good afternoon. How the heck are you?
Great, fellas. They are currently opening the roof that is in progress here in Arlington. So it's always fun to play baseball with the roof open, even if it is a meaningless exhibition game.
What are fans in for tonight?
Good question. Hopefully a healthy game. I mean, at this point, I don't know if any roster decisions are going to be made based on a player's performance tonight or tomorrow, beyond maybe if there's a player. Is everyone getting whatever final reps they need to get ready and making sure everyone's safe? Mally, who's getting the start tonight, you know, that might be getting through 5 to 6 innings and being ready to rock whenever he gets the ball, which would likely be on Saturday, the third game.
Jared Sandler here with us on the Fan. Jared, if you could get to a slightly better sell spot, that would be good. We had a couple
I don't right now, fellas. I don't know where I'm doing the best I can.
Okay. We'll see how this goes. What can you say about the show Wyatt Lankford just put on in Cactus League? Even better than last year, huh? Appears we've lost Sandler. We've lost Sandler for good now here. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105.3. The Fan.
You encouraged him, and then he just got mad and hit the
He was like, well, if that's the way you want to be, Dawson, forget about it. But, it can be tough to get a sell signal up there.
Yeah, no, it's tough. It's very, very tough.
Thought with the roof open, maybe it would open things up a little bit for him there with lines.
That could make some sense. So maybe he'll call back when that roof does open, but we're probably good. Okay, Ranger stuff going into tonight's game. Again, a 6:30 first pregame and 7 o'clock first pitch. I was mentioning Wyatt Lankford there.
Yeah.
Last year, his on-base plus slugging in Cactus League. Remember how excited we were about him?
Yep.
And we were talking about how, hey, this guy could win Rookie of the Year and, you know, maybe be the rare candidate for MVP as well. And then he didn't really play well for the first 2 months. And June was great. September was great. But this Cactus League, he improved his OPS to over 1.3. You know, and granted, like 800 is good. Last year it was 1.1. This year it's over 1.3. And he has been on an absolute tear out there in Cactus League action. And, I mean, I think outside of Corey Seager, he might be the most exciting player we have going right now, at least from the lineup perspective.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Adolis Garcia has really cranked things up post-oblique issue earlier in camp. And so he's a guy that can always just be an absolute lightning rod and put the entire lineup on his back for a stretch. So you still have elements of that. But in terms of the excitement level of something that we've only seen a little bit of that could really balloon into MVP level dominance with Wyatt Lankford, there's no question he's right there on the short list of dudes you're just most excited to watch him erupt this season.
The biggest question, and maybe I'm making too much of this, that I have for the Rangers, is this really Jonah Heim's job to lose? With Higgy, I think if you were saying, hey, Brian, you know, you always ask me about, you know, who's the 53rd player? What's the last guy on the Cowboys that could potentially start or take a job? I don't think this catching thing is completely solidified for the Rangers.
You got to be open-minded to it if he struggles as much as he did last year.
I don't know if there's the leash is that long, Dawson.
Okay, let's ask Sandler about that. I think he's going to jump back on here with us. I did want to tell you there's breaking news. Anthony Davis is going to play tonight. Okay,
there you go. Super exciting.
We got to talk about that here in just a second, but Jared back with us now here on the Fan. Not too excited about Anthony Davis's return, huh?
Well, so now what? They make the playoffs and they lose the opportunity to maybe get like a decent draft pick for the last time in the last 6 years? Is that like what we're doing?
Yeah, it's not a tank move, and it is a potential for injury move in a snake bit year. I would not be trying to press my luck at this point in the thing, but I guess you can hope that they have enough offense now and he can bring defense and Lively can bring defense and maybe you can salvage something. But Sans, to me, this is a story that's become about the general manager now, Nico, maybe wanting to see this through and have success to prove that he was right.
Hey, if there are enough season ticket holders who opt out and I don't know, like sponsorship dollars lost, is there any chance Patrick Dumont's like, Nico, this one backfired royally, and we are the laughingstock of the NBA. Take a hike.
I would hope so. I hope that is in consideration, but it's hard to tell how much denial they might be in over there with the Mavs right now. Jared Sandler brought you by Advanced Hair Restoration. Go to advancedhair.com. And Brian was just talking about the Higashioka and Jonah Heim situation and where that is as we get set for opening day on Thursday. Could there be a passing of the torch, or is Heim locked in as the main catcher?
No, I mean, I think it's 50-50, and I think whoever's playing better will, maybe if that 50-50 pendulum swings in favor of one player or the other, then, I think it's basically performance-based. They don't have to commit to one. Like in that, I think we talked about this on Friday. It's not like a quarterback where, like, one guy's your guy, and you can only make so many changes. I think they try maybe and give them opportunities to catch all five starters early and split it up that way. I don't know if it's going to be a straight alternating, every other game, or if they're going to look at it matchup based. But I think like the idea is, let's just say over the first 30 games, more or less playing time is going to be the same. I heard you, Dawson, saying that, maybe, or Broadus, one of you were saying that maybe that leash isn't so long. And I think that's, very fair. Specific to Jonah Heim. I mean, if Jonah gets off to a slow start, it's not that he's going to be buried, right?
No.
I think Kyle Higashioka will go through a rough stretch, but I think they have the ability to kind of ride the hot hand. And, the other thing is on the defensive side, Jonah metrically had a down year last year. Now, some people have explained that, it to some degree had to do with positioning behind the plate more so than framing ability. But let's say, he's not doing – doing what he has done in the past from a defensive standpoint. That's another thing. I think we'll naturally look at the offensive numbers, but I do think that the defensive numbers, the framing, the receiving, that stuff will play a role in the equation as well.
Jared, I hope this is not a terrible question, but is there
might be
is there things that they're absolutely, and I'm going to use the word terrified, but just so unsure about that they just can't get buttoned up right now with their team?
You sound about like terms of roster decisions.
Yeah.
Well, I think it all goes back to the money side. I think that, uniquely, and this is the first time, this is my 11th year, 12th year, whatever it is. This is the first time that, before opening day, the Rangers are really having to make decisions that are money conscious.
Sure.
And I want to make it clear, it's not like this is a Tampa Bay, an Athletics, a Guardians, a Twins situation where they're just not spending. They just don't, for a third straight year, want to exceed the lowest luxury tax apron. And it's because they have spent. With that said, I understand why fans might be frustrated that, they, as a major market, are in this position. But, this is what ownership has decided is what's best moving forward. And so I think because of that, little things, Evan Grant, I think in his article shared that, Dane Dunning being placed on waivers is to some degree to see if a team would snatch him up and take the money, and that frees up their ability to add Adrian Hauser to the roster. But and it's not like they couldn't add Adrian Hauser, but now, they're really pushing towards that luxury tax threshold. And one thing that, I think, unfortunately, maybe Rangers fans are becoming more familiar with this sort of thing, but in case they aren't, there's a lot of unknown because of incentives. Tyler Mahle can earn up to $5 million in incentives, and you obviously, as a contending team, want him to earn those because that means he's healthy and pitching well. But those dollars go towards your luxury tax figure, and so
they've got to leave cushion and leave buffer for some of those incentives to hit. And then, guys, you know, what about the trade deadline? You know, if they're going to add to the trade deadline, they're also adding money. Now, maybe there's money that gets exchanged in negotiations and whatnot, but you know, there are all sorts of factors that I think they're trying to kind of thread the needle of being a team that is, you know, in a great position to compete in a big way, but also wanting to make the right moves to ensure that they don't, you know, go over this luxury tax threshold. And it seems like a complicated tightrope act.
Talking Rangers with Jared Sandler here on The Fan. Jared, how excited should we be getting for the potential of Robert Garcia, the lefty out of the bullpen, who I saw Jim Bowden put on his breakout roster, MLB breakouts for this upcoming season? 6'4", 236, lefty in the bullpen. How excited are you about Robert Garcia?
Yeah, when the Rangers acquired him, I'll be honest, I didn't know a ton about him, and then quickly learned of his story of, you know, how he thought he had retired, but paperwork wasn't filed correctly, and that kind of gave him a second life. And then when you look at the numbers, you know, he's a perfect example of someone who's, you know, beneath the surface numbers, the advanced, or however you want to characterize it, tell a totally different story than just his ERA. He was, you know, on a short list of pitchers from in certain metrics in terms of his dominance out of the bullpen last year. And I think, you know, that's probably why Jim Bowden has him on that list. I haven't read the list. I don't know if there was a write-up, but, you know, if I was doing a write-up for that, I would cite those numbers as an indication that, you know, his performance has been better than maybe what the back of the baseball card has suggested. And it's not like the back of the baseball card has, you know, been ugly or anything, but I don't know whether he's going to, you know, be in a closing role or a setup role, or if it's going to be a little bit of both, but I do think that he is going to be a relied upon member of this bullpen. And I think that he's going to be getting leverage innings, and I'm excited to see what it looks like. He's looked impressive in spring. You know, you mentioned, you just read the height and weight, you know, he's a big imposing figure, which I don't know why it matters, because, you know, you don't need to be 6'4 to be a good pitcher. But when I think of guys throwing gas coming out of the bullpen in the 7th, 8th, 9th inning, you know, having that sort of size or stature, I mean, it kind of fires you up. I mean, you know, Aroldis Chapman, you stand next to him, you think like he can just, you know, put his arm around you and break you in half, right? And I think that maybe gives you a little liquid courage, so to speak, you know, with having a guy that imposing, and he kind of has that walk and that feel about him. And, you know, a lot of things add up to this guy being a contributor in high leverage spots. And now we just got to wait and see him go out and hopefully do it.
It's Jared Sandler here with you. Opening day on Thursday. Jared, I would start Kevin Pillar at center field. I would move Evan Carter to the minor leagues. And I'm trying to get Taveras hot so I can trade him. What do you think? When's the Evan Carter decision coming?
Yeah, I mean, so technically, I don't think they have to make the decision until like 10 or 11 on Thursday morning. So, it, you know, might not be until then, or maybe it's maybe we, you know, get an update. It's kind of up to them at that point. You know, if they want to release it anytime before then, I get the sense he's going to be on the team. But I understand that thought, Dawson. And I think there's some people who think, hey, you know, send him down, have him absolutely wreck AAA, give him at bats against righties and lefties, and then call him up in a month or, you know, whenever. But the sense I get, he's going to be on the team now. I do think Kevin Pillar will also be on the team, and I think there's a chance that Kevin Pillar starts on opening day because they're going to face a lefty in Garrett Crochet. But with Leody, I think, you know, he's on the team as well. I wonder how much of Leody's spot on the team is a, you know, an insurance for Evan Carter's health. And, you know, that's not going to change whether he's in AAA or the majors. But I do think, Gavin, to me it makes a lot of sense that, you know, if you are trying to save a little money, and not that Leody's making a ton, but you could probably trade Leody, get a pre-arbitration reliever or pitcher who's, you know, making $700,000, $1 million, whatever. It's going to be a lot less than Leody's $4.5 million or so. And, you know, add some depth in that regard. And I think that's something that they got to strongly consider, even if it's not before opening day, sometime shortly after in the month of April. All it takes is one injury, and that, you know, those types of phone calls might really kick in motion.
No Seager tonight?
Yeah, dealing with just some calf tightness, discomfort, nothing. I mean, I hate to say this, I mean, we're going on air, and I hope people listen, and I hope people watch, you know, depending on where you are. But, I mean, this game, really, there's not a whole lot at stake here, and especially for someone like Corey, who's gotten plenty of at bats. So I spoke to him earlier. He says that as of now, no reason why opening day would be in question at all. It's just it's a little sore, and so no reason to run out there and play.
And what was the best thing you tried for the Rangers' new concession items?
Didn't try any of it. I took some pictures and videos. That 24-inch boomstick burrito looks pretty impressive, though. I'd like to take that down. I think we're going to get a chance on Thursday, opening day, to take that down. So I don't know. I mean, how many inches do you think you could take of that, Chief?
Well, I mean, I did in 3 hours' time. I did the 2 foot boomstick burger. I guess it was a couple of years ago now. So if you give me two or 3 hours, I think I could put the whole thing down. But in one sitting, I feel good about the first 12 inches.
Who do you think can take down the most inches of the station?
I mean, I don't want to be braggadocious or whatever, but I think I'm leading the charge on that. I'm certainly the favorite.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Walsh could be up there.
That's a 3.5 pound thing, right, Jared? Is that what we're looking at?
It is 3.5 pounds.
Yeah, I was told 3.5 pounds. How bizarre is that? My
crazy.
Goodness.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, I would do that like a breakfast burrito. That would be really appealing to me. You give me 24 inches of bacon, sausage, egg, cheese, hash brown.
Yes.
Maybe throw a little salsa on there. Yes. I would take that bad boy down.
That sounds delightful.
Look forward to you going toe-to-toe with the Chief at some point, Sands. Have a great night. DeGrom tomorrow, right? DeGrom's pitching tomorrow in the 1:30 game?
Yeah, but I believe so. And then probably going to start Sunday, the finale against the Red Sox, maybe the first game in Cincinnati.
All righty. Thank you, buddy. Have a good night, and we'll chat with you tomorrow.
All right, fellas. Take care.
He's at Jared Sandler on Twitter. Top 10 at 420 is coming up next. Chief, what's in store tonight?
Happy National Cocktail Day, ladies and gentlemen. What's your favorite cocktail next year in the nation?
Here's the Chief with the Woolly Bullies Top 10.
Congratulations to Anthony Day-to-Day Davis, who is no longer day-to-day, but he is starting tonight for your Dallas Mavericks. For the first time since February 8th, the Brow is back, ladies and gentlemen. He strong-armed the entire organization, and I was kind of thinking they were going to unveil him in Dallas.
Yeah, it would have been exciting, but I think that just shows how much he's chomping at the bit how much he's looking at the fact that they're in a dogfight
now. They need to win games.
For the 10th seed, and Davis needs to justify his guy Nico's trade for him. So he's going to go play and in danger next year as well. Good job, guys.
I do not support this decision in any way, but I know that this is Anthony Davis just being a competitor. And to some extent, we have to respect and applaud that.
Yeah, you're right.
But, man, big picture, this feels like quite the gamble. You need the draft pick because you don't have many. And like you've been hammering home Dawson for the last week plus, the idea of bringing him back and him getting re-injured in some way that is now he's rehabbing in the offseason instead of just getting ready. That would be, and that's on the table with the way the season has gone. I mean, even Tim Hardaway Jr. can't come back to the AAC without getting hurt like he did on Friday night.
It's just like you
can't escape it right now.
Well, I guess they must feel like there's a potentially huge payoff here. I think it was absolutely flushed once Kyrie Irving went out. But, I mean, they're scoring, Let's talk about that. What was it the other night? 123 points against Detroit, 131 against Indiana, 125 against Philadelphia. They did only score 96 against Houston, a very good defensive team, young, athletic. But back at them again, 116 against the Spurs, 133 against the Spurs, 116 against the Suns. That's their last 10 games, 111 against the Grizzlies. They can score somehow. Maybe they're going to prove you don't need an actual floor point guard. You don't need a floor general. And we can go out here, if we could defend and rebound, we're winning these games. We're just giving up 125 a game, so we just need to fix our rim protection.
They might tell you that's fool's gold. They're playing against teams that are just as bad health-wise.
Okay.
And they'll tell you that, we've been in some games where the teams we're playing are just as chaotic with guys not playing or resting.
They
have
played games against teams without bigs.
Yeah, that's that.
They played terrible teams, dude. Even when they played the Pacers, they didn't have Haliburton. These are awful teams.
I asked the same question, Dawson. I said, "Well, how are you guys generating so much offense?
Playing garbage."
And they said, "We're garbage right now, and we're playing garbage that because of injuries and resting and load management or whatever you said, we're in a lot of these games where it's chaos and there's a lot of scoring because nobody can play defense because the players aren't any good.
I'm right there with you. I just think in their crazed world where Luka for AD made sense,
no question.
AD is going to come and give them more offensive firepower and significantly better defense. And they're probably thinking, hey, let's line up against Houston if we could get through the play-in. We can beat them.
That's exactly what they're thinking.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they're thinking. They're thinking, there's a couple of teams, of course, that they have absolutely no shot against. But that you start to think about the Houstons and people like that, they feel like they have a shot there. But the ones at the top of the table, not so much.
What do you guys think the over-under is?
Real quick. They feel like, though, they can give Denver problems just because of bigs. They can match Denver, the bigs that Denver has.
There you go.
So that's why. But Oklahoma City's probably a bad matchup for them.
Okay, so I just saw, I've been refreshing, waiting for them to throw Anthony Davis on Prize Picks to see what we can wager on tonight, boys. And what do you guys think the points over-under is for Anthony?
24.5.
Probably is restricted minutes, maybe?
See, that's the thing that we don't know yet. We haven't gotten an announcement on what the restrictions are going to be. You'd have to expect him to be on some level of minutes restriction.
Let's go under.
19.5.
16.5?
There you go, yeah.
Now, maybe they know something about the minutes restriction, but and I'm sure they do, but 16.5,
he'll have enticing. That at the end of the first quarter if he's right.
Enticing. Okay, happy National Cocktail Day, ladies and gentlemen. Old-fashioned Long Island from Tom Collins in the 214. That's his go-to.
What's
that's
old,
quite a text.
Old man drink right there.
I'll take a gin and tonic for the win. They glow in club lights.
Yeah? You know?
I feel masculine drinking one, you know? You don't have to be drinking shots and getting too heavy. I mean, although the gin will get you messed up. You'll be having yourself quite a time. But I think the gin and tonic was always my favorite drink.
I don't know how much familiarity I really have with the gin stuff. So it might be a unfortunate blind spot.
You probably drank gin out of a plastic bottle when you were really hammered. That's a like Gilby gin. That was a...
Feels very true to you.
I feel like at a dinner, Scotch. Though, if you have to be in a dinner scene where you can't get a light domestic beer or it's going to be frowned upon, like we're classing it up, the gin and tonic's the go-to as far as it's a masculine drink. It doesn't have a bunch of sugar in it, and it's not going to get you too hammered.
Just go bourbon on the rocks.
Bourbon on the rocks ain't bad.
I'm trying to avoid getting too hammered, you know? This is like 7, 8 at night.
Yeah, no, there's time and place.
There's like the gin martinis are kind of a dinner drink, kind of a like before. That's more of a lunch drink.
Okay.
But the gin and tonic is, I don't know, if you're drinking gin, I think you're kind of a hardcore drinker.
Okay.
I mean, I every gin drinker I've ever known.
A little judgmental over there.
No, I've just, every
gin. I mean, he hung him up for a reason.
Yeah, was a hardcore drinker.
Let me tell you, every gin drinker that I've known, it's they've been a, They don't stop.
Yeah.
They just keep...
Not up until they go. Like,
they don't worry about getting all liquored up.
The only thing to worry about is when does the liquor store close? You know? That's your only concern. And can you get a ride up there?
Dawson, you drank a bunch of gin?
Bunch.
Like, you drinking that bad rot get out of the plastic bottle gin stuff?
Rodeo Dawson.
Tanqueray. No, yeah, Tanqueray is a little more high end.
Tanqueray and Bombay, I think, were the ones I'd buy the most.
Okay, there you go. Well, see, there's some gin that just...
Mid-grade gin.
Yeah, there's people that drink the gin. And if you're drinking gin that's in that plastic bottle, I keep saying the plastic bottle.
Like the Royal Canadian or whatever that was? Canadian Mist?
Gilby. God. You're drinking that, you're just like, I don't care.
I mean, if it wasn't that, then it would be, just whiskey on the rocks.
Yeah.
You know, that'll make you feel like a man, too.
Okay. Speaking of men, we go into the Pimp Cup. Ross Lubinsky, what's your one seed for cocktails?
Oh, not much of a cocktail drinker, I'll be honest, but do you like martinis count?
Yeah, absolutely. Sure.
Then I would just go with like a standard, I'm trying to remember because I was living with a roommate and she made a really good martini. I want to say she used, was it cranberry juice? I don't know what kind of martini that would be, but it was really good.
The old female roommate, eh?
I was about to say, yeah. Well, she was like one of those people who was like, oh yeah, I'm not only going to have like wine every night, but sometimes she would just bust out martinis if a friend came over and I was like, I guess I'll take one of those. And the cranberry martinis are really good.
You guys ever just live with a friend, a female friend? This is just a female, because you didn't say girlfriend or anything.
No, it was
just a roommate.
Two of my gal pals that I have had since middle school, and we were all living together.
How about that?
No, I never have.
Never,
I don't know if
never,
I could.
Never ventured into those waters. The martini, is that dirty, Ross?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, I'm not very familiar with the martinis. I do. I think an old fashioned is pretty on point, but a ranch water, you know, a lot of ranch water is coming in right now. Transfusion brought us getting a lot of love. That's surprised you didn't immediately jump at the transfusion.
That's a great drink.
I know you appreciate those.
I do.
So the dirty martini comes with some olive brine.
It's the actual juice of the olive. Yeah.
Okay. The olive juice that's in that jar sounds disgusting.
Yeah. You pour like a spoonful into the drink.
Whew. It's going to be a no for me. Somebody texted in a rusty nail, 972, rusty nail. Not familiar
heard
with that
rusty
particular
trombone.
One. Super, super familiar with that one. But never heard of the rusty nail. I'm sure Dawson will have an answer very, very soon.
Scotch whiskey with Drambuie. Don't know what Drambuie is, but it's some sort of
it's a
mixer.
Liqueur.
Okay.
Sounds nice.
Rusty nail sounds strong.
Yeah.
Liquor and liquor. That's the two mixers here.
Mm-hmm. Martini. Tequila sunrise, screwdriver, Mai Tai, rum and coke, all outside looking in.
What?
First into the tourney. Classics. At 10, gin and tonic. There he is, bang, Gavin bang. Dawson, getting points. Moscow Mule at number 9.
Very popular these days.
Mm-hmm. Very popular.
Big fan.
Yeah.
The copper.
There's something, yes, that copper cup.
Yep.
It's just the presentation factor of it all. You're like, I want to be the guy holding that.
Yep.
Whiskey sour at 8, that's a Walchuk special.
It's a great beverage. A little too sweet for me. Gives me a stomachache.
Walchuk had quite the seating arrangement at Zero's wedding on Saturday.
Was he at a table with nobody he knew?
No, he was very familiar. Perhaps his childhood icon.
Sham?
Perhaps Sham was sitting to his left.
And Emmett Smith to his right.
Somebody was to his right. They were making a Walchuk sandwich. We'll talk about it in the finest. But Walchuk's a whiskey sour guy. He proves that time and time again. Mimosa, number 7.
That's a brunch drink.
It's phenomenal. Long Island iced tea.
You're on vacation.
Vacation,
yeah,
or just a...
Yeah.
It's also synonymous with Sunday Funday. When you say Sunday Funday, I think mimosas.
There you go.
And I think the entire Metroplex does.
Belgian waffles and cocktails.
That's right, dude. What a dynamic duo. Long Island iced tea at 6. Daiquiris at 5. The pina colada at 4. That's an all-time beach drink.
Yeah.
If you're on the beach and you have a drink, I'm guessing you have a pina colada.
Goombay punch.
That feels...
Goombay punch.
Foreign?
It's a very...
Feels like a Cajun swamp people type of Louisiana thing.
Okay, someone just Goombay punch.
Goombay punch.
That's exactly right. Thank you.
It's rum. Like, it's milk. It's like a milkshake.
Oh, wow.
Punch. It's a better... It's a good... Beach drink.
You had me at milkshake, sir.
Mm-hmm.
The old fashioned at 3.
Old fashioned.
Mojito.
That's
brought
good.
Us.
That's good. Yep. Mojito.
Mm-hmm. With the mint in there.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. Is number 2. But a good old fashioned margarita, ladies and gentlemen, number 1. And the margaritas at Zero's wedding, we're getting it done. Yeah. I mean, me, Alec Medford, Carter, Walchuk, Reginald. Just enjoying some delicious margaritas.
What a time, dude. I saw the pictures on social. It looked great. Congrats to Zero. And his lovely bride.
There we go.
I will say one thing. I do make a pretty mean margarita, so one of these days I'll have to bring up the big machine and have y'all taste them sometime, because they're pretty good.
I'm down.
That sounds very Will Chambers-like.
That makes you very popular, man. That does. That sounds very Chambers-esque.
Will Chambers.
Yeah. Marg's in the office, guy.
No, margarita kit with me, guys.
No, yeah. Will's the guy. What
Keep
he did.
That
he
thing
did
on
the chili.
Yeah.
He made the chili. And we
the
were
Skyline
all,
chili.
The Skyline wow. chili. We all like, you know, kind of like, oh, okay. And you taste it. It was like.
Other than the cheese sticking to the foil, I thought it was fine.
Well, thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
Standing in for the Woolly Bullies top 10 at 4:20 this afternoon. Once again, in admirable fashion, we'll go around the Rangers. And the big question CY is about to deliver an answer on. Football's finest coming up at 5 o'clock. And in 1 hour with Lucius out, I'm going to attempt LA Live here for you tonight. That's all.
Big shoes, my friend.
Next in the nation. Thank you very much, Ross, in for Lucius today. It's the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Lucius and Walchuk are both out. Send those guys some love on social media. Let them know that they are missed. It's been a big couple of days for Rangers news here coming out of the weekend. They're home now, and they're about to play the Royals tonight. Pregame coming up at 6:30 and the first pitch at 7 o'clock. The first big item of news, and I just think this, you know, goes to their financial reality right now, being up against the luxury tax threshold, something they want to avoid for a third year in a row, where at that point you got to get competitive balance taxes going. You got to write a big check to the other owners. Obviously, Ray wants nothing to do with that. And if they can get through this year without having to do that, then they can reset and maybe spend more next year, which sucks because they placed Dane Dunning on outright waivers. That should clear a 40-man roster spot. A team can claim him at $2.6 million a year. And then, you know, if he does clear waivers, then they would outright him. But this is basically to free up $2.6 million a year. And in a game where the payrolls are around $200 million, it just seems insane that you could let a guy go who is your 2023 pitcher of the year go over 1% of that number or 1.5% of that number. So, I guess this is just a reminder that we're not operating as the Dodgers, and, you know, very few teams have historically. The Mets, the Yankees, the Dodgers been willing to go into, you know, luxury tax territory. At least we're not the Mariners, who are penny pinching their balls off. But they are preparing to finalize their opening day roster. It'll be interesting to see what they will do with an extra 40-man roster spot. Would be fun to have a trade. I would just be working my butt off trying to find, the guy that can be that linchpin for the closer role. We're still kind of looking out for that. They're gonna have about $8.5 million of payroll to play with once Dunning is off their books. As Sands told us about 30 minutes ago, they could also trade Tavares, which would open up about $4 million. So now you'd be looking at over $12 million of cushion. But it's gonna be a tough fit. Good thing we got CY on the job.
Yeah.
Okay. Evan Grant observations from the weekend. Evan Carter now looks like a man who is pressing. He was 0-for-3 yesterday with a pair of strikeouts, hitless in 12 at-bats in a row. Yeah. This is Evan Carter. How does this happen? 6 strikeouts in that stretch. His OPS for the spring is 441. That's on base plus slugging. 441 for Evan Carter this spring. In 2023, just his on-base percentage was 417. So things have really gone downhill for Evan Carter. I don't know how you would have him on the team. I don't think you need a roster spot. Leody Taveras is hitting right-handers better. I think it's clear right now you send Carter down and hope he gets right there.
Yeah, because I think the only way that he can ever, I mean, it's a much easier opportunity to regain your confidence versus that level of competition, and he can get more reps versus lefties, which is something that you're having to sit him on those particular days. At least he can get that work in. And I think with what Pilar has brought to the table in spring training, it's opened the door for it. You should almost look at it as a luxury, like, hey, we have a chance now, and hopefully he can rekindle that flame. And by summertime, Carter's back up and everything's much better. But I'm with you. I think he needs repetitions. He needs to try and get that confidence back. And between Taveras and Pilar, you can get through the first portion of the season.
Yeah, it's so weird. They say, you know, nothing matters in spring training, but this definitely matters. You know, a young guy trying to come back from injury and prove that he can do it against pitchers who aren't necessarily throwing their best repertoire.
Mm-hmm.
This should be the time where you're hitting 350. You know?
Yeah, this is... Are we starting to see why he wasn't one of baseball's top 200 players?
That could be it.
I do this in a way that, did you for one season catch a little lightning in the bottle with a player that he's this is maybe who he is?
I mean, Rougi Odor had 2 month stretches that good, you know, where he looks like a Hall of Famer.
Sure.
And I think that might be part of it. CY talked about the time missed and being a young player who really hadn't had established that he could do it consistently yet. Sure. There were a lot of lessons that he needed to learn to be able to do it consistently.
Right.
And, CY said it's hard to make up for that. We love him as a player and a person. We know how good he is and know what he's going to impact our team. I'm just not ready to commit to whether that's opening day or not. So that's the word CY was putting on it over the weekend. Not ready to commit. He also said Bochy has been reminding people about how he missed time. Like, yeah. This is a Bruce Bochy talking point, which strikes me as something that you tell people when you're convincing him, I don't want him on my opening day roster. He can't help me win games right now. Look, he was out for a long time, you know, and what the recipe was in 2023 was he had an amazing summer.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of that, by getting totally grooved, was ready to step in and, you know, dominate big league pitching in his in his unique way there for a brief period of time. But it also helped that the Astros didn't have any left-handed pitchers. You know, like how much could that have been
huge,
you know, derailed at that time? Jack Leiter had 6 innings of work yesterday, gave up 3 runs. That's a quality start.
Quality start.
But he hit one hundo on the gun a bunch of times.
Yes.
And that's the first time he's done that in a StatCast monitored game.
Okay, well, he is far more comfortable than Evan Carter is right now. When you start to talk about your young players.
Yeah.
You know, when you, Jack Leiter throughout has been, and really since the word go here in surprise, has been ready. He's prepared. You know, his the pitching, the pitches he's developed or is working on. Seems to be working well. He was a guy that you kind of felt like maybe he wasn't the most mentally tough guy, but he's shown that some good mental toughness. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, we interviewed Jack Leiter and he says, well, I've been working with a psychologist on some things, sports psychologist. I've been seeing, you know, and because he went from being a guy at Vanderbilt coming out to being one of the greatest pitchers ever in the draft coming out of college. And then all of a sudden has kind of things start to fall apart for him a little bit and needs to kind of rebuild himself. The pressure of his old man as a major league pitcher, the pressure of where he was drafted, the pressure of how he played at Vanderbilt. Maybe he didn't handle all those things really, really well.
And it's just such a big step from, you know, college or the minor leagues to being able to play at a major league level. I mean, it's just it is such a difficult transition. And for a guy that wasn't supernaturally confident or could go out there believing he was the man, you know, I think it could extend it. But I think this shows he's getting in the weight room.
Yeah.
He's adding power and strength. And, you know, it just underscores the fact that it's definitely a journey. And as we mentioned, Wyatt Langford, even better this spring than last year when we all thought he was going to go win Rookie of the Year. His OPS last year, 1.137. This year, 1.363. So 250 points better. And he was also 1 of 1 on his challenges. Evan Grant pointing out today in the paper, according to a StatCast last year, Langford was the victim of 62 pitches outside the strike zone that were called strikes against him.
Yeah.
That's just part of, you know, earning your reputation and your respect of the umpires there as a young player. And they did Langford no favors last year. But this year he's, you know, at least going to be armed there in spring training with that ability to challenge. Hopefully they get that in the big league system soon as well. Football's finest coming up next. Chief, where are you taking us?
All right. We have a Stephon Diggs health update and Deion putting it all out there on where he wants Shador to go. That's next here in the nation.